But as we gather today on the second Sunday of 2025, I'm honored to stand before you of a pastor of an amazing church. We are an amazing church. We're doing some amazing things. And 2025 will be greater than any other year. I want to assure you that you are loved with hearts that has been purified by Christ's love. As a church, as leaders, as pastors, we will not fail to love you. We will not do it out of our own strength, but we are compelled by the love of Christ to commit ourselves in prayer over you and for you consistently. You and yours are well covered in prayer. You will see yourself grow in faith. You will rejoice in this year with all of life's victories. Together here at Siloam, we are building the kingdom of God. We're advancing His purpose. We are serving one another. And we are walking in freedom. I had a conversation with Pastor Janine in this week, and I asked her, what is your dream for the church? Because as pastors, as shepherds of the flock, we need to have a dream. There are things we need to pray for our church. There are things that we need to believe for our church. And one of the things that you heard her say is those three things that she specifically spoke of. But the first one was freedom. Freedom. One thing I realized over this last 2 weeks of being with the family, money has no color. Money has no color. The thing about money is it doesn't ask for your status. It doesn't ask what race you are, what background you come from. That means, and she said it, you belong in certain spaces. We belong in certain spaces. Sometimes we look down upon ourselves and then we want to say those people look down upon us. We look down upon ourselves and we don't understand. We have the freedom to go anywhere, to be everywhere, to do anything and everything that our hearts desires. You belong in the spaces that the Lord is creating for you in 2025. You have every opportunity to do great things in 2025. So in driving yesterday and listening again to Pastor Nigel's, Lionel's on my mind. Listening again to Pastor Nigel's sermon, I said to Joel, please put in the sermon. I want to hear it again. We were listening to it last week. I said, I want to hear it again because I want to connect to it and make sure that, you know what, we're not missing on what Pastor Nigel ministered. And he ministered a powerful sermon. Powerful, powerful sermon. And in that in mind, Pastor Nigel, the Lord said, release three things over the church. Number one, release holy moments. Because you were preaching about spending time with God, being in the presence of the Lord, being intimate with the Lord. The Lord said, release holy moments, moments where the church will be keenly aware of the presence of the Lord. You'll be keenly aware of the weight of His glory. You'll be keenly aware of the manifestation of His presence. Holy moments where you will be alone with God, not in the congregation like this. Holy moments where you will be seeking after God and the Lord will come in His fullness and in His power and He will reveal His Shekinah, His glory to you and you will know that this is a holy moment. This is me and God. This is God and I, we are in this place of worship. We are in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, holy moments is not just for sacred times. It's for every day. It's for every space. Holy moments, as we pursue the Lord and we find our first love again. Because according to Psalms 24 and verse 3 and 6, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We release holy moments. Holy moments. Holy moments. he mentioned Moses. And Moses was just wandering with the sheep and taking them to the place where he would rest with them. And there he had a holy moment. Jacob was running from his brother, running from his home. And there he had a holy moment. Holy moments where you and God will commune with one another and you will know it is only but the Lord. Surely it can only be but the Lord. Second thing the Lord said I must release over the house this morning is hallelujah moments. Hallelujah moments. Firstly, it is holy moments. Secondly, it is hallelujah moments. Moments where your praise is released because of every victory and breakthrough the Lord brings you to. Hallelujah moments are moments where you will stand amazed and shout, and you will stand and raise your hands, and all you can say is, hallelujah, the Lord has done it. Hallelujah moments in your workplace. Hallelujah moments at school. Hallelujah moments in the university. Hallelujah moments in the boardroom. You will know it is a hallelujah moment. So church, let's say, Lord, give me a hallelujah moment. Make it 24 hours, Lord. Some of us may be dreading going back to work. Some of us have started already. And already you feel like, this place I should not be. Lord, deliver me from where I am. Take me out from here. The Lord is going to give you a hallelujah moment. A hallelujah moment in the midst of dry places. I shared a sermon a few months ago which said, God is in the details. And I was reading something over the holiday and it said, God is in the detours of life. So even if my life, as Pastor Janine said, takes a detour, even if I find myself in a parched place, as the man of God spoke of last week, even if I find myself in a valley moment, even if I find myself in a sorrowful moment, as Pastor Komotso just said, the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you a hallelujah moment. I'm going to give you a moment of understanding. I am with you. Hallelujah moments will turn to holy moments. Moments of worship. Moments of praise. Moments of saying, Lord, thank you that you have done it. 1 Samuel 2:1-10. Hannah praises the Lord. David praises the Lord after being delivered from his enemies. Lord, put a hallelujah on our lips. Put a hallelujah on our hearts. Victory is ours. The third thing the Lord said I must release in terms of what we are speaking about this morning is honor moments. There's holy moments. There's hallelujah moments. Then we have honor moments. Honor moments. Moments where your gift will make room for you. Moments of recognition. Moments of good reports. Moments of good reports concerning you that will bring you respect, that will bring you esteem, and will bring you honor. Moments of honor in 2025. That means you should be grabbing and saying, Lord, it is my year of promotion. It is my year where my gift will make room for me and bring me into places I did not expect. Bring me into places they told me I am not qualified for. Bring me into places I thought will take me another 2 years to get into. But here I am. Hallelujah. You have done it yet again. Here I am. It's a holy moment. It's a moment of honor. The Lord is raising you in and amongst your family. The Lord is raising you in and amongst your peer group. The Lord is raising you. We've prayed over our children. Leadership roles, authority. We released it on New Year's Eve. Authority, kings and priests, anointing is in this house. It is a moment of honor. So the Lord will give us holy moments. He will give us hallelujah moments. And he will give us on the moment. Some of us are crying out just for a little bit of honor. Just a little bit. You've been crying and saying, they don't respect me. But God is giving you respect yet again. God is giving you esteem yet again. I turn your attention to the scripture verse I want to read for the morning, and Pastor Nigel touched on it. It comes from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 and verse 8. Because in the final few moments of fresh vision and new beginnings, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I live. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Some key takeaways from Isaiah 6, 1 to 8 when it comes to fresh vision and new beginnings. Number one, it's this. Fresh vision comes from an encounter with God. In 2025, as we have started the first Sunday preaching on it already, it's going to be a year of opportunity, but it's also going to be a year of encountering God. Fresh vision comes from an encounter with God. Isaiah's vision of God is on his throne. He reveals his glory, his majesty. This fresh vision enables Isaiah to see himself, to see the people around him, to see his own purpose in a new light. He sees himself and he says, woe unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. He says, I live amongst a people of unclean lips. When you have an encounter with God in 2025, you will see yourself differently. You will see the people around you differently. You will perceive your purpose differently. You will understand in His majesty, in His glory, in His presence, we cannot stand, as you rightfully said, we cannot present ourselves to Him as holy. We cannot present ourselves to Him without stumbling. We cannot present ourselves to Him without blame. A fresh encounter with God brings new vision. Lord, I understand who you made me to be. I understand what you are calling me to be. I understand I cannot stand in your majesty by myself. You have made me, as David writes, a little lower than the angels, but yet you still think of me. Yet you still visit me. Yet you call me your own. The application of that lesson is a clear view of God changes how we perceive our circumstances, how we see our future. It changes how we see the circumstances. Yes, I am in the valley of the shadow of death, but you are with me. I am going through my struggle and my trouble, but you are still God. I am at a place of victory, but it all belongs to you. All the glory. It changes how I see my circumstances. It changes how I see my future, because when he has a fresh encounter, the Lord says, who will go? Who will we send? Who will go? Lord, here am I. Here am I. In this year, when you have a fresh encounter with the Lord, He makes you available for His purpose. Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know I'm going to do it. Pastor Janine said, even if we have to do it scared, Lord, I'm going to do it. Even if I have to do it not understanding what tomorrow holds, I am in your will, I am in your purpose. Lord, I am available, send me. Take me to the uttermost parts of this world. Take me, Lord, across the road to my family so I can go and tell them Jesus loves you. Lord, give me the power, give me the boldness to look at my colleague at work and tell them there's only one answer to your problem and His name is Jesus. There's only one answer to your issue and His name is Jesus. So Lord, here I am. Use me. A fresh encounter with the Lord changes your vision, changes how you see yourself, makes you available for all that the Lord wants to do, makes you available for where the Lord wants to take you. The second thing is new beginnings start with self-reflection and cleansing. Before he said, yes, Lord, he said, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, I am undone. I don't think I can measure up to your beauty. I don't think I can measure up to your holiness. I don't think I can measure up to your majesty. He says, I am undone. What happens? The seraphim flies and brings a coal and it touches his lips and purifies him. So new beginnings will take reflection and it will take cleansing and purification. When you are confronted with the holiness of God, you must recognize you need Him more. When you are confronted with the beauty of the Lord, you must recognize that we need to confess. We need to say to Him, I am but only man. I am but only dust. I can only rely on your strength. I can only rely on your goodness. Acknowledge your need, our need for purification. Acknowledge our need for cleansing. New beginnings, the man of God said last week, requires humility, requires repentance. Requires acceptance of God's grace. I'm saying that because there are some of us in this room and online, we are not living where we're supposed to live. We're not doing what we are supposed to do. We're not giving it our all in pursuit of the goodness of God because we have not accepted His grace. We have not accepted that He gives us His grace in great measure. In great measure. When I get another opportunity to minister, I'm going to do a little bit of an illustration. Showing you that the Bible says that we are all given a measure of grace. But that grace can grow with how we apply it. Unfortunately, many of us, we leave the grace in one place. And then we want to get upset when we see others do well. We want to get upset when we see the Lord using other people. The Lord is saying that you and I must understand we have to accept His grace. And when you accept His grace, you accept His purpose for your life. Number three, opportunity comes from God's calling. Opportunity comes from God's calling. After Isaiah was cleansed, he heard God's call. Whom shall I send? His readiness to respond marked the beginning of a new mission and a new season of purpose. Fresh opportunities come when we are attentive to God's voice and we are willing to step into His plans. His opportunity, the opportunity, and unfortunately my door, we moved our door because I wanted everybody to see the declaration. And there's still a lot of things in that box that must come on here. We said this is the year of opportunity. We are asking for things. We are saying, job, provide my children to have a birth certificate. Where's Auntie Dillis? Auntie Dilly, where's Elder Dillis? Not yet today. There's people that can help you with that. Graduating and job success. Opportunity for growth, provision. Professional growth. I'm starting a new branch in January. Educational growth. Furthering my studies next year. To complete my studies. An abundance of blessings, financial breakthrough in my family. And Pastor Nigel addressed some of the things that the Lord will do in 2025. And we all have need. We all have desire. We all have plans. We all have a need that the Lord must meet. But it comes when we understand that He is calling you to higher things. He's not just calling you to have the best job. He's not just calling you to have the best home and the best car and the best of this and the best of that. He's calling you to a higher understanding of your purpose. And He's saying, when you understand and say, yes, Lord. In 2025, the Lord said to me, Adrian, your only answer in 2025 should be yes. Now that's for me, but it's resonating with some of you. Your only answer in 2025 is yes. Yes, Lord. Use me. Opportunities come from God's call. It comes when you answer His call. It comes when you understand that He's saying yes. So as we close it out this morning, there's a few more things I wanted to say. But those three things. Fresh vision comes from an encounter with God. New beginning starts with self-reflection and cleansing. Opportunity comes from God's calling. Isaiah sees the beauty, the majesty of the Lord. He's already a prophet. And Isaiah is called the Prince of Prophets. He was a court prophet, which means that he was an advisor to the king. And in the year that King Uzziah dies, Uzziah was one of the most prosperous and most successful kings of Judah. Even greater in terms of his achievements than Solomon and King David. Even greater. But Uzziah did something he was not supposed to do. He expanded the reach of Israel and Judah far beyond what David and Solomon did. But Uzziah went and he took the holy things of God in the place of a priest and tried to go and give incense because the priests were taking too long or the prophet wasn't coming. So he tried to do what he wanted to do and he died in obscurity. He died in obscurity, afflicted with leprosy. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There may be some people in our lives. This is a good year for disconnection. Can I say it again? It is a good year for disconnection. And it's actually a prayer that I want to pray. Because the Lord said to me, some of us thought we were taking good advice. And we took wrong advice. And it took us down a road where we are still trying to come back from. It's a good year for disconnection. No matter how good they are, no matter how wonderful they are, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw them. There's some experiences that the Lord wants to give you in 2025, free from connections to people, good, bad, or indifferent. Free from connections to people that it's just you and him. where you can fully see His glory, where you can fully understand, who am I in the midst of this majesty? What am I to be? What am I to do? What am I to follow in the midst of where God is taking me?